Welcome back to the program, everybody. News Radio 106.7. I think this song, very appropriate for our next guest. And all of Washington, D.C. There's a lot of people up there. They're going to be in Washington, D.C., probably already in Washington, D.C. But next Friday, this coming Friday the 20th, Inauguration Day in Washington, D.C., there are a lot of people that can't get over the fact that Donald Trump is going to be inaugurated the 45th president of the United States. He's going to raise his hand at 12 noon on the west front of the Capitol. Protests have threatened to paralyze D.C. Joining us right now live from D.C. is a man who is on the tip of the spear, so to speak, on inaugural security preparations, a national security event. Chief Peter Newsom of the Metropolitan Police Department in Washington, D.C. Chief, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
And the phones are working today so far, knock on wood.
that's nice. Excellent.
Exactly. And I do appreciate you joining me again. We tried to have Chief on a couple of weeks ago when I was sitting in. And I tell you what, it's a massive undertaking. But the big question, is law enforcement ready, Chief?
Yeah, we are ready. I tell everybody, the Metropolitan Police Department has been involved in the inauguration since about 1865, which was President Lincoln's second. I was not there for that one. Mike, you might have been.
I knew that was coming. Yeah, I was a couple presidents later.
But this is my seventh. And I tell you, we get better at it every single time that we do it. The coordination, one of the things that my colleagues in law enforcement are a little bit jealous of is the relationship that we have here in Washington, D.C. with our federal partners, Secret Service, Park Police, U.S. Capitol Police, FBI, everyone who's involved in the planning and preparation for this thing. We've been preparing for it for a number of months. Inside the Metropolitan Police Department, we've been preparing for more than a year. After the election, of course, the preparation gears up.
Sure.
We do tabletop exercises, rehearsal of concept drills. We are prepared. We're as prepared as we possibly can be for this event. We will anticipate large crowds, large demonstrations, which is not uncommon here in the District of Columbia. There has been, and I know you know this because you follow this very closely, Mike, on the social media, some groups that are suggesting they're going to come down and create a problem. And, we'll be prepared for that, too, if that does happen. We've had that type of thing here in Washington, D.C. before, and we've been able to successfully handle it.
Exactly. And I know, having been part of inaugurals for five presidents myself with the Special Operations Division, and having been involved in the planning of that, that there are always demonstrations. But for this particular inaugural, Chief, are you seeing more groups that are going to be out there protesting against the president as he is sworn in? And, there are groups like J20, DisruptJ20.org, that says that they want to shut down the swearing in and disrupt the inaugural parade going down Pennsylvania Avenue.
Yeah, that particular group is getting a lot of attention in the media. But if someone were to go and even do an open source search of social media, they would see that there is just as many folks that are coming that are going to be demonstrating peacefully. There's a lot of folks that are going to be coming to demonstrate on behalf of the president-elect. So we'll have both groups. We'll have folks that came out here to support the president-elect, and then you'll have some that'll come out here to oppose it.
Sure.
You got to prepare for that. We anticipated that, to be quite frank with you, regardless of who won the election, that we would have that kind of, because the election was relatively close. And usually in any election, there's a large proportion of the population that did not win, and they want to come here and they want to voice their grievance with the government. And, we welcome that. I think our role here at MPD is to facilitate the folks that want to come here and do it peacefully, and the ones that don't, if we have to, we will respectfully and safely take them into custody.
Now, you talk about demonstrators on both sides. There is one group that has been getting a lot of attention, as you know, on social media, and they said they are going to form a wall of meat to protect President Trump, and that is Bikers for Trump. Are you expecting that large a number of bikers? I know that, we have Rolling Thunder every single year in Washington, D.C., and that is a huge demonstration of folks on bikes. But Bikers for Trump said that they are going to be there to help protect the president. Do you expect that large a number?
We try to gauge the numbers of the different groups that are coming. I don't think, that group will be any bigger than some of the other groups that we know that are coming. As you know, we have a march planned for the day after the inauguration.
Right.
And that one seems, by all indications, to be the biggest one that we're going to have here in the city over the course of this week. So, the size and at the end of the day, and you know this, Mike, from your experience in SOD, the size really doesn't matter. It's
right.
The behavior and the organizers. And by and large, the organizers of these events that come to the city are very cooperative with the police. And we don't expect it to be any different on Inauguration Day.
Now, I know that over the last number of inaugurals and some special events there, the Metropolitan Police Department, U.S. Secret Service, Capitol Police, Park Police, all the other departments within the 67 square miles of the city, you all bring in and deputize other law enforcement officers from around the country. Are you doing that also this year?
We are. We're going to be bringing in over 3,000 police officers from all across the country. About 750 of those are from the region, so they have some familiarity with Washington, D.C., but we're bringing in some from the West Coast, some from as far away as Florida.
Wow.
And we do this frequently. And matter of fact, all of the inaugurations that I've been involved in, we've had outside jurisdictions assist us. And it's really kind of great. It's one of the things that I really like about the police. You send out a message that you might need some assistance, and the men and women in law enforcement are they come right to the forefront to come and give us a hand. It's good for them. It's great for us to have the assistance.
Sure.
But it's also good for them because they get an opportunity to be a part of history. We take it for granted here in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
But these folks that come in from across the country, they end up having a really good experience.
Chief, can you hang with us for one more block? We have to take a break right now, but
sure.
Can you stick around?
Sure, happy to do it.
Fantastic, Chief. With us, Chief Peter Newsham of the Metropolitan Police Department, Washington, D.C. We're talking everything inaugural security. It's coming up here on Friday, folks, and we're taking your calls. If you have a call, if you have a question for Chief Newsham, 844-404-1067, News Radio 106.7. Welcome back to the program, everybody. News Radio 106.7. Mike Brooks in for the camera. This is kind of my signature song. From all my years in the Metropolitan Police Department, ERT. Joining us from D.C. Live, Chief Peter Newsham of the Metropolitan Police Department. A cop's cop, a great guy. Besides being a chief, he's a really good guy. Remember Chief Newsham when he was a young officer. And it's great to see you in your position where you are now, P. And I tell you, you've got the support of a lot of folks to be the permanent chief after the inaugural. So good luck with that.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Mike.
Yeah, buddy. We're talking to Chief Newsham about inaugural security. I've seen a lot of pictures, and it seems like this year, Chief, there's a lot of fencing that I hadn't seen in other years. And I know there's going to be a number of checkpoints to have access to the parade route. U.S. Capitol Police up on Capitol Hill, they're going to be handling, and the Secret Service are going to be handling access to the dais where President Trump will be sworn in. But there's also, I know the Metropolitan Police Department has body cameras. And there, I've gotten a lot of messages from law enforcement up in D.C. and other places that have read articles that apparently the body cameras will not be used during, if you're, let's say you're an officer and you're working the demonstrations, that they will not be used for the demonstrations. Why is that?
Yeah, that's actually not accurate. I know others have reported that, so I know I've seen that out there
well.
Yeah, our officers actually are required to turn on their body-worn cameras when there is a First Amendment assembly. We also have our electronic surveillance unit come and film that. Sometimes there are lawsuits that occur after these demonstrations, and so we just want to make sure we have an accurate record of exactly what happened in the event there's a future lawsuit. So, there is a distinction between our department and the departments that are coming in. We have asked them, the departments that are coming in, not to bring their body-worn cameras. Many of them do not have them, but for the ones that do. And the reason is because we have a system for collecting our body-worn camera information, and we weren't in a position to be able to capture theirs in the same way to preserve it for any future, even criminal or civil cases that might arise. So we thought it would be the best bet that they didn't bring them. And you know Washington, D.C., Mike, there's video all over the place. So any body-worn camera footage that we do have is just going to be – it's going to supplement the multiple other cameras that are going to be here. Plus, you're going to have everybody's going to be out there with their own cell phone, their iPads and their own cameras. The media will be out there in force. We don't think that we're going to have any problem getting video of this event.
Gotcha. So the officers, the Metropolitan Police officers who have cameras, those cameras will be on, because I know in the past there, especially with groups like the ACLU and other civil rights groups, have said, well, it's against the law to record First Amendment activity. But as we know, and I've seen it because I've been part of it, as you have, First Amendment activity can all of a sudden go into violent civil disobedience. So I'm glad to see that the Metropolitan Police Department will have their cameras on. And I agree with you, because with the Axon system that you all have as part of a case management system, a lot of the other cameras of people coming in will not be compatible. So I can understand that.
Yep. And the distinction is that we're not supposed to be recording them for the purpose of identifying the participants.
Right.
So it's just to see the nature of the event, and in the event that anything happens where a police action is taken, I think everybody agrees that that should be preserved for any future proceedings that may occur.
Exactly. And that goes back years ago to a case that you're very familiar with, the CISPIS case, the Citizens in Support of the People of El Salvador, where the FBI and other departments were under scrutiny for trying to identify, and they were recording to try to identify people who were part of that First Amendment activity. And I know when I was in the intelligence branch, we were very, very keenly aware of that. Now, there's something else I want to ask you about. And, the Metropolitan Police Department, nobody does it better than MPD when it comes to dealing with demonstrators. We would handle sometimes up to 10 demonstrations a day, from 5 people to maybe 500 people. No matter what their gripe was, they had their First Amendment right to protest. Now, for the inaugural, there is going to be a group that's going to be out there policing the police. It's the D.C. Department of Police Complaints, and they're going to have their own investigators looking at the activities of the Metropolitan Police Department?
Yep, that's right. We actually brought them in, and we actually gave them some training to show them exactly how our civil disturbance units operate.
Yep.
To give them some sense. And you, Mike, you've seen this.
Oh yeah.
We have become very transparent in policing across the country. We really don't have anything to hide.
No.
Our number one goal is public safety. One of the things that I'm really proud of the men and women of this agency is the fact that they've embraced this transparency, especially with the body-worn camera program.
Yeah.
They want everyone to see exactly what they're doing, and it's been very beneficial to us to have that, you know, that video. And, you know, the Office of Police Complaints, it's the same thing. You know, if you want to come out and take a look at what we're doing, we welcome that because we feel like, you know, we do it the right way.
And MPD has always been usually on the cutting edge of technology, and I know they're the body-worn cameras, especially looking at the incident that happened on Christmas Day, the unfortunate incident of the officer-involved shooting, that cleared up a lot of questions that citizens had, and basically showed that it was a justified use of police force on that particular time, as sad as it was.
Well, I wouldn't go that far because the investigation, as you know, is still ongoing. But I will say that, you know, there was some suggestion that the suspect in that case was not armed.
Right.
And in this case, we had, you know, indisputable video evidence that the suspect was armed. And getting that out was very beneficial. The one thing that does make me nervous is the, you know, body-worn cameras are limited in their ability to capture every single thing that goes on.
Yes.
And so it's not a panacea for capturing, you know, every view, every angle, and maybe next time it won't capture that. In this particular case, it did capture it. We were fortunate, but I don't want people, I guess, to get the impression that there's every single time that there's a use of force that we're going to have, you know, indisputable evidence about exactly what happened. You know, one other conversation I really want to make sure we have before I go is that I understand you have a football team that played a game of some significance this past weekend. Is that right?
Well, my Washington Redskins, they've been out of it. But my number two team, Pete, yes, I tell you what, if the Atlanta Falcons, they were playing their they thought was going to be their last football game in the Georgia Dome. But now there's another one. It's called the NFC Championship.
Very exciting. I tell you, I watched the game, and I was the amount of noise that those fans brought seems to suggest that they don't want them to leave that stadium. But nonetheless, the thing I wanted to bring up with you is that, you know, I grew up in Massachusetts, as you know.
Right.
So,
right.
Maybe my hometown Patriots and your Falcons will get to meet up in a couple of weeks. That would be great.
I tell you, that would be a fantastic matchup, Pete. It would be a fantastic matchup. But Pete, thank you so much for coming back on the show and joining us again and clearing up a lot of questions. And I wish you, all the men and women with the Metropolitan Police Department, all the other jurisdictions that are going to be helping out, I hope you have a very peaceful inaugural. I hope it goes without a hitch. And I tell you, nobody does it better than the Metropolitan Police Department.
Well, thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. And thank you for your service to our city. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Chief.
All right.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you, Chief. That was Chief Peter Newsham, the police chief of the Metropolitan Police Department in Washington, D.C., my alma mater. Very, very happy to have had Pete back on after we had the phone debacle before. But I tell you what, he's a cop's cop. He's a great guy. And if I was out on the street and wanted a partner, it'd be Pete Newsham. We got more coming back after the break. We're just a little bit over here, but we're going to be taking your calls. We got plenty more here on News Radio 106.7.